This is a podcast from SPH Radio.
You're listening to The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in sustainability and technology with me, Rachel Kelly. Now, over the past year, much has changed on the back of COVID-19. Everyone's been talking about building back better, looking at a more sustainable environment and how we can live better lives, contribute better to our working world, our personal world, and the world in which we live going forward as we recover from the pandemic. This has led to many conversations surrounding smart cities. What's next for smart cities in urban planning? Does it go just beyond energy efficiency, managing assets, resources, and services more effectively? According to recent data by ESI Thought Labs, they had a report out about smart city solutions for a riskier world. It came out earlier this year, and they reviewed 167 cities worldwide and found that 81% of respondents said that the pandemic and its repercussions were the biggest disruptions, not only for 2020, but also in recent memory. Now, those changes have prompted 69% to say that they were reconsidering urban planning as a result. Now, to find out more about the impact that the pandemic has had on smart cities and the technology involved in smart cities, we're joined today by Sandy Gui, Principal Consultant for Energy and Smart Cities at Nomura Research Institute Singapore. Sandy, welcome to The Green Wire.
Thank you, Rachel, for welcoming me.
Oh, it's an absolute
pleasure.
It's our pleasure to have you on the podcast, Sandy. And, you know, we've got to start off because you've got more than 20 years of experience within the energy industry. I was reading from your profile, you know, you've got a strong network of clients across the full energy value chain. Can you tell me, what are some of the key shifts that you've seen within the smart city context? I mean, before we start to talk about the last year, but perhaps over the last 5 to 10 years, what are some of the key changes that you've seen happening?
Thank you, Rachel, for that good question. We at NRI define smart city in three categories, right? So we have the first generation, second generation, and third generation. And currently we are in the third generation, where we would see more integrated, connected systems using artificial intelligence and big data. So this is definitely a shift, a big shift from the previous generation of smart cities, where very much the use of ICT, information communication technology, to facilitate digital internet services. But this current generation, would be the better use, or more use of AI and big data,
right,
to improve efficiency and effectiveness in how we work and live.
And Sandy, when you're talking about AI and big data, I mean, this all sounds very futuristic to me. And when you say we're in the third generation, can you give me some examples of how that AI and big data is being used for smart cities?
Yeah, very good. So let's start with the definition of smart city. Mm-hmm. As at NRI, we define smart city as one where a smart city will collect data and integrate it and analyze it real time. Mm-hmm. Assess a variety of information or data from the environment, from equipments, also regarding consumer attributes, resident behaviors, and so on. And all this is made possible through the use of sensors. So that's one big trend, applications of more sensors, and also, to automate some of this processing of data using AI and also analytics. So the whole purpose is to ensure that Urban infrastructure, facilities, connectivity operations are all fully optimized, reduce operating costs of urban areas, and also improve the comfort and the standard of living for all key stakeholders in a smart city. So we would see that this is all made possible through the use of AI technology, wireless communications, data science, and also importantly, mobile devices, right? And subsequently, what we will see going forward would be the, you know, autonomous vehicles is emerging. Already, we are becoming a more cashless society. So we're definitely looking at, with this pandemic, we will see a further proliferation of that, right? So to reduce contact and so on. And digital services will be core as well as part of this transition. So all this will be enabled through the use of AI and big data to ensure that you know, such transaction and interaction communications will be seamless.
And you know, Sandy, I actually was just caught short 2 days ago. I went to catch up with an ex-colleague for lunch, and I realized the place that we were meeting at only accepted cash. And I've got, you know, numerous apps on my phone: GrabPay, PayNow, contactless credit cards. I had no cash on me, and that was a result of the past year with the pandemic. I just haven't been taking out cash, and I guess this is in line with what you're saying in terms of this cashless society that we're seeing. We're seeing digital currencies coming out as well, so the world is really changing quite a bit. And I just want to kind of rewind, you know, over a decade ago, I was invited on a media trip to Songdo in South Korea. At that point, it was to cover smart city innovations, the Internet of Things, and we were taken to a model city to show what the future of smart cities would look like. And you've spoken about your definition of a smart city and, you know, AI and drones. So say if you were to look into your crystal ball, Sandy, what would you say, how would you describe the smart city of the future going forward 5 or 10 years from now? What can we expect it to look like, and how do you think it's changed as a result of what we've seen happen with the pandemic? Many questions I've thrown at you, I know, Sandy.
No, thank you for that. NRI has done many studies and research for clients in identifying opportunities, business opportunities, where they can participate and invest and leverage this growth of smart city developments in this region. So we have identified some key themes, let's put it this way. And I would say that fundamentally, as a whole, as a vision, I think it would be a very people-centric, enabled by technologies, right? To make our life better, more efficient, and more comfortable and convenience, right? All the good stuff to make us live and work better and more safely. And of course, with this, I would say that let me identify a few key themes. Based on our definition of smart city, there are 4 layers of smart city structure. So we have the services and applications. Yeah. There will be digital infrastructure, and also basic infrastructure, and lastly, the real estate development. From the perspective of starting from the top layer, services and applications. Now, in terms of services and applications, we do have the 3 categories, sub-segment within that, where the user interfaces would be most prolific, right? So you have the governance, the digital government services, you have the smart community, and then, you know, the other segment would be your profit businesses, where you have mobility, sharing economy, smart healthcare, smart energy management, smart grid. And I mean, you can just keep going on, smart education and so on. And of course, going beyond that, the last segment will be your, you know, perfect. Proliferation of co-working space, data sharing, communications with the residents that kind of support this User base, right? Which you have the government and the businesses and the individuals, the residents. So within the services and applications, we also believe that the infrastructure will have to be improved. So that's kind of like talking about the second layer of smart city structure, which then 5G, the use of 5G will be critical in ensuring that more mobile devices and more equipment and system can be connected at the same time and ensure that the volume, the sheer volume and also the quality of transmission and the data that we call end to end is allowing us to, transact, purchase and so on.
And I mean, lastly, Sandy, we've got to talk about what's happening here in Singapore. We've got the whole Smart Nation Singapore initiative. I mean, we've got Smart Nation ambassadors. There are a number of initiatives under the government's program, from transport, startups and businesses, urban living, health, digital government services, and strategic national projects. I mean, Singapore really is, would you say, a leader when it comes to smart cities within the region?
Yeah, actually, I would say so. There are already live examples like Tengah Town and the campuses, universities have also developed, test bed for such a smart nation. And I think there are definitely like even the Punggol district, the application of district cooling, because that is one of the key issues in growing cities is in ASEAN is the use of air conditioning, and that's kind of like they consuming a lot of energy. So how do you allow the comfort, but also allow urbanization to take place without having too much of a, at the same time, manage carbon emission? So basically, I think this district cooling, it will be very interesting showcase for applications across the region. But also, as I know, EV, besides Singapore, Thailand is also talking about EV, but I think Singapore is definitely, we've seen the EV charging stations being rolled out. So definitely, Singapore is a showcase and a test bed for many of the multinational companies or enterprises which would look at deploying some of these technologies in ASEAN regions.
Well, Sandy, a very exciting time for smart cities. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Rachel. I would like to share more if I could.
Thank you so much, Sandy. We've been speaking with Sandy Gui, Principal Consultant at NRI Singapore. You've been listening to The Green Wire with me, Rachel Kelly.
The Green Wire is a production of SPH Radio. It's hosted and produced by Rachel Kelly from Money FM 89.3. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, and streaming on Google Home. And if you have feedback for us, send it to sphradio@sph.com.sg.